Gather again to be obedient to the call of the Lord, to gather in a holy convocation, not only as individuals, but corporately. We gather here to fulfill the Word of God, His Torah. Some of us come with a little understanding. Some of us come with even less understanding. Some come because they followed the crowd. That's called tradition. And some come pulled by a feeling deep inside they just don't understand. Many of our Jewish people made their way to the synagogue to fulfill an obligation. They call it tradition in their religion. More than the call of our Lord. I pray that all of us here came or come with our hearts open wide, prepared to fulfill the innermost desires that Abba, our Father, and Messiah would have for us, to make teshuvah, repentance, to turn from our sinful ways and to prepare ourselves for the year ahead, asking for mercy for the year past and the year ahead. The cantor sang Kol Nidre. You just heard him. This century-old chant dates back at least to the 9th century. Its author is unknown, but the emotion it carries to Jews all over the world is very well known. Did you feel anything deep down in your soul, maybe? Did you feel? Wow. It's very interesting to note that Kol Nidre is not a prayer. It has no mention of teshuvah or repentance. It is a decree. Traditionally, Jews embrace Kol Nidre to free themselves from the past or future vows that have been violated or will be violated. Kol Nidre emphasizes the extreme gravity that the Torah attaches not only to the formal vows and oaths, but expresses how important that we keep His teachings, His word, His mitzvot. In Joshua 1:8, God tells Joshua how important it is to keep this book of the Torah on your lips and to meditate on it day and night, so that you will take care to act accordingly to everything written in it. Then your understandings, your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed. Beware vows made that are not of your heart. Proverbs 20:17 says, "Bread of the seed is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." And Proverbs 20:25 says, "It is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy and after vows to make inquiry." Vows are holy promises in God's eye, free will offerings. In the Talmud, it says that vows not kept can lead to death of loved ones. That is why the Messianic Kol Nidre reminds us to make sure our yes is yes and our no is no. It is a reminder that our vows are sacred, and not to be made half-heartedly or made with no intention to follow through on. God is watching and God is listening. In Psalm 66:13, it says, "I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows." And in Psalm 116:14, it says, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people." This is the key to Yom Kippur and why we should do Kol Nidre. We acknowledge before him that we have missed the mark. We have sinned against our Torah and his commandments. In the book of Nahum, chapter 2, verse 1, the prophet says, "Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that brings good news, proclaiming shalom. Keep your feasts, Judah, fulfill your vows, for the wicked no more pass through you again. He is utterly cut off." In this scripture, Nahum is expressing how critical it is that we keep our vows, especially as it relates to the feasts of Adonai. And there is a blessing that goes with it. But Kol Nidre does not release us from our vows. It is a plea to the Lord that may we be forgiven. It is the Lord himself who releases us. In Leviticus chapter 16, Moshe has written down the order of the temple service for Yom Kippur. We're going to study that later if you want to come to the Bible study. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would present sacrifices of atonement, not only for himself, but for the whole nation. There were to be three offerings. First, a bull for the sin of the priest himself and his family. It is this bull that would make atonement for Aaron and his generations to come. The blood of the bull is used to cleanse the Holy of Holies in the tent of the meeting and the altar in the face of the uncleanliness of Israel. The life of the animal is in the blood, and it is the blood that brings atonement. There is a shadow here of our Messiah. We need to remember that Yom Kippur is the time that Moses came down from the mountain with the second set of tablets. If you don't remember, Moses had been on Mount Sinai seeking forgiveness for the abomination of the golden calf. It is on Yom Kippur that this seeking came to its pinnacle, the eternal day of forgiveness. It is one of God's greatest gifts that we can confess our sins, to make teshuvah, to repent, and he will grant us atonement. God permits us to let the past slip away so that we could start all over again with a clean slate. After Aaron made atonement with the blood of the bull in the Holy of Holies, his attention was turned to two goats. Lots are drawn for the goats the Lord chooses. Both of these goats have no blemishes, representing no sin. They're perfect. One for Adonai, that is the goat that is the shadow of Messiah's sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, which we read, God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become God's righteousness in him. It is this goat's blood that is sprinkled on the Holy of Holies for our transgressions. The first goat sheds its blood for the sins of the people, and its blood was brought into the Holy of Holies, and it was sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. Once this is finished, the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, Aaron, moved to the second goat. This one was called Azazel, the scapegoat, which we usually call it. God chooses the goat that is sent away to Azazel by the casting of lots. Plainly and simply, God himself is providing a means of getting rid of Israel's sin. The basic story of is the Azazel, after the priest lays his hands on it and lays the nation's sins on its head, is led out into the desert, and its final fate is never mentioned in the Torah, but it goes with the sins of the nation. It is thought that it's dropped off a cliff somewhere, because you don't want your sins coming back into camp once you take them out. You want to get rid of them, right? So the whole nation watches as the goat is led out. Sin has left the camp and its people, to the nation, a clean slate. Whew. Start all over, guys. Then Aaron would take the fine linen tunic and bathe his body in water in the holy place, and then he made a burnt offering, making atonement for himself and the people. All this ritual is really impressive, really cool, but it doesn't really set the stage for each of us to come before God, to make teshuvah before God. Psalm 51:16 says, "For you don't want sacrifice, or I would give them. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings." And Psalm 51:17, "My sacrifices to God is a broken spirit. God, you won't spurn a broken, chastised heart." The Lord has always been looking for more for the circumcision of our hearts. He wants your heart circumcised. Did you know that? The Lord has always desired a permanent arrangement with you. In Jeremiah 31:31, he is a promise of a new covenant is made, made on better promises, offering eternal ramifications. For centuries, the Jewish people relied on the Yom Kippur service to wash them clean of their sins. But major events happened that would change that status forever. The great rabbis at the Council of Yavne in the year 90 AD transformed the service for Yom Kippur. They proclaimed that ritual and prayer was enough because they didn't have a place to do any sacrifice anymore. The temple was destroyed. And if you do good deeds, everything's going to be fine. Not exactly what the scripture says. It was considered a good omen if the lot marked La Adonai was drawn by the priest in the right hand. 40 years prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, in the year 30 AD, that would be 70 minus 40, 30. The lot for La Adonai was drawn up by the priest in the left hand. Wrong hand. What happened? Once the temple was destroyed, Israel's ability to atone for sin was gone. At least as prescribed in Leviticus. Scripture is clear that the cleansing only comes from the shedding of blood. 17:11 of Leviticus says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it over to every creature to make atonement for their souls." Without blood, there can be no atonement. According to the Talmud, the destruction of the temple wasn't a total surprise to the Jewish people. In fact, the Talmud records that four ominous events occurred approximately 40 years before the temple was destroyed. Again, 70 minus 40 is 30 AD. What do you think these four things were? Well, the lot for the Lord's goat did not come up in the right hand of the high priest. I just said it came up where? In the left hand. Well, that's weird. The scarlet cord, they used to tie a scarlet cord. Y'all know the color scarlet, you live in Nebraska. If you don't know what scarlet looks like, you're colorblind. But the scarlet cord was tied to the door of the temple on the Day of Atonement. And guess what? When Azazel, the goat, the scapegoat, got out of that town and went off the cliff, that cord would turn white. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The red cord turned white. But it didn't anymore. The westernmost light on the temple menorah would not burn. It was the eternal light that would never burn out. It is believed that this light was used to light the other lights of the candelabra. It was the light of our, we say it on the Hanukkah candle, the shamas, the servant candle, right? When you light the other candles with one candle, that's called the servant candle. It wouldn't light anymore. Wow. And guess what? Like Star Trek, the temple doors would open by themselves. The rabbis saw this as an ominous fulfillment of Zechariah 11:1. This was a prophetic fulfillment. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that fire may devour thy cedars. The opening of the doors to let in the consuming fire foretell the destruction of the temple itself by fire. The temple was later burned to the ground by the Romans. So this was a fulfillment. How would you like to be sitting there and all of a sudden the doors to your house fling open? Boy, that would get your attention. That would get you away from ESPN for a while. The sages draw two conclusions from these warnings. First, they realize that the destruction of the temple was God's judgment on the Jewish people for ungodliness. Second, they perceive the warnings as God's way of giving them time to prepare for the restructuring of Judaism around the synagogue. What amazing event happened 40 years before the destruction of the second temple that they didn't put on that list? Anybody know? Well, I think they missed the most important event of all. This would be number one on that list, making five on that list, right? Yeshua was born, he was rejected, he was crucified, and he rose. Yes. Do you think that this would be the judgment against Israel? How much more rebellious can you get than to reject your Messiah? They were right. God had a better plan, one created from the foundations of the universe. He would send himself to pay the price of our sin. Wow. Remember Jeremiah 31:31? Yeshua is the better covenant. Just read Hebrews 7. It'll tell you. Okay, we read, Denny read Isaiah 57:14. Isaiah speaks of the future where the Lord promises to revive the spirit of the humble and the broken. Isaiah writes that God will heal them in spite of their rebellious ways. Some in the body of Messiah say, we don't need the feasts. We don't, surely don't need Yom Kippur. I say that this is the farthest thing from the truth. With the coming of Messiah, Yom Kippur just got a whole lot better. This is a glorious day. Messiah was rejected by the majority of Jews. But remember, this was part of the prophecy. It was in Isaiah 53. It was in Acts 13. We still sin. Guess what? We still sin. Anybody doesn't still sin? Raise your hand. Okay. I knew you wouldn't. We still need to come clean. We still need to make teshuvah, to turn. And who do we turn to? We turn to King Messiah. Yeshua, HaMashiach. For Messiah came in the order of Melchizedek, according to Hebrews 7. No intermediary there. We go directly to the source, Yeshua. Yeshua's blood makes the final atonement for our sin. We don't have to go through a high priest, do we? It is his blood that grants us the remission of our sin. Yeshua wants to hear from us today. He wants to hear from all of us. He wants to hear our mouths speak of repentance. We still need cleansing. Some say guilt is a state of mind. What is right for one may be wrong for another, and vice versa. That is a lie of the enemy. For we have a God that judges on the Day of Atonement. In Hebrews 4:12, he says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, as it judges the thoughts and purposes of the heart. And in Revelation 19, verse 11, then I saw a new heaven, and what else? I saw a new heaven standing open. Wow. By itself. Yeah, I keep losing my place. And there was a white horse. Its rider is named Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. There is God's right and the enemy's wrong. The relative world code of conduct, what is in place now, is not God's. Be on guard, because many who proclaim to know the Bible preach this relative message of truth. Yeshua came to free us from the burden of sin forever, not from the Torah. He didn't come to free us from the Torah. He didn't come to free us from its godly code of conduct and instruction. Those are the words that God said, if you do these things, you will be blessed. Why would you not do something that's going to bless you? Receiving God's cleansing in no way dismisses our need to live according to God's rules. You want to live by God's rules or the government of the United States rules? How about God's commandments, not Obama's commandments? Far from it. It is his cleansing that enables us. It is his cleansing that enables us to live godly lives. We must live within the structure that God has given us. Without it, we have confusion and disaster. Look at the world. Does it look like it's in a disaster right now? What a mess. Isn't there confusion? There's tornadoes in Brooklyn. Come on. Tornadoes in Brooklyn. Your son Carl is ravaging Mexico right now, his hurricane. Hurricane Carl. And Bermuda's about to get hit by Frankenstein's assistant, Igor. Although the lady on the weather this morning, yesterday, she said Igor. I think she saw that movie. I mean, the world is a mess. And that's what's going on just in the Atlantic Ocean, man. God. Well, let's see. We got to live. Isn't there confusion and disaster that comes when you have abortion, when you have homosexual lifestyles and taking God out of our schools, government offices, public places? Yeshua is our way out of disaster and death, spiritually and physically. Yeshua is our salvation and our solution. Don't forget that, ever. He wants to see us move to action in our repentance. The good news is, Yeshua continues to cleanse us as we took him to him, as we look to him for that cleansing. Messiah is our Kohen HaGadol, our high priest, our sin offering. He is our high priest. Today on Yom Kippur, in fact, he is the Kohen HaGadol every day of the year, not just today. We don't have to take just one day out of our lives and make him our high priest. He could be our high priest every day of our lives. Yes. It says in Hebrews 3:1, therefore, brothers, whom God has set apart, who share in the call from heaven, think carefully about Yeshua, whom we acknowledge publicly as God's emissary and his Kohen HaGadol. He was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Remember our reading in Hebrews 7, it says forever. How long is that? Long time. Can there be better intercession for us than a high priest that has personally paid for our sin? Lived a perfect life. How many other high priests have done that? Aaron certainly never did. He'd gone to heaven and forgiven our sin. We do not have to have a mortal intermediary. We have God himself. Yeshua as Kohen HaGadol came to earth to take our sin away one time and forever. When I was a practicing Jew who didn't care about God, I said, I don't need Jesus. I can go directly to God. You guys have to go through another guy. And then I found out he was God. Boy, did I change my tune. You know what? He is also our sin offering. He shed his blood for us. Got a knife? I'm going to shed my blood for you. You're going to clean up the carpet, right? No, I wouldn't do it. I can't. I don't have to. Somebody's already done it. Yes. It had to be his blood. It had to be his blood. For we know that there is not atonement without the blood. Leviticus 17:11, I told you, says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Messiah is our sure thing. You want a sure thing? Messiah is your sure thing. You don't have to no longer need blood of bulls and goats covering over our sin. Ephesians 5:2 says, Messiah gave himself in love willingly as a sacrificial lamb. And in Hebrews 9:25, it says that Messiah did not offer himself over and over again, like our forefathers who had to go into the Holy of Holies each year with blood that was not his own. For we are not saved by the blood of bull and goats. And there is a bonus. You like bonuses? Not only has he redeemed us with his blood, but Messiah is coming back. Hey! Yeah. To receive those that have put their trust in him. Hebrews 9:28 says that. Yom Kippur is the time for us to come before our King, our Kohen HaGadol, to seek out mercy and cleansing. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us keep on coming with boldness to the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Wow. We have a Kohen HaGadol that sat down at the right hand of our Father in heaven, and he sits there right now, and he is our intercessor. He is our priest, pleading for us, begging for us, interceding for us in all things. You know, over there in that old temple, they didn't even have that stool. They didn't have a chair. They never got to sit down next to the Father because they're still doing it. if they still had a temple, they would still be doing the same thing over and over again because their job is never done, because all the blood of all the bulls and all the goats will never take away even one sin. Only this takes away the sin. So what is or should Yom Kippur be to us who are believers in Messiah in this age? Yom Kippur is more than the opportunity to escape punishment by atonement. It is the annual recommitment to cleanse our lives of sin committed with malice and forethought. Yom Kippur, God declared in Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And in Revelation 7:14, these are the people who are coming out of the terrible suffering. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of their lambs. So we come today before God to ask forgiveness for our shortcomings. We come to confess our sins before a holy God. We come to ask for forgiveness for the sin we will commit in the coming year. We also ask forgiveness of our sin of the past year. We come to partake in the day of fasting, a day of introspection to be in right standing with God. We come to open our hearts before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to let God in and to let evil out. We come to acknowledge that He is God. We come to honor our heritage as given by God to all generations forever. We come to acknowledge and accept our Kippur, our atonement, our covering. We come to acknowledge that Messiah is that atonement, that Kippur, that covering. We come before Messiah with a contrite heart, acknowledging that we are weak and we need Him who calls us His own. We come to say we desire to be closer with our God, our King, and our friend. You have a friend Jesus on your Facebook? You should. We come to confirm our acceptance of Yeshua's blood atonement for us. We come to recommit our lives and our life to Messiah King. We come as an act of faith. We come as an acknowledgement that we are still sinners. Yes, we are. And need Messiah's blood today and every day. Do you need it tomorrow? Of course you do. We come because we are obedient. We come because we have been called. We come because we need Him. Yes. We come because there is no life without Him. We come because He loved us first. And we come because He died for us, to make atonement for our transgressions. We come to have our names written and sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. Let me give you an analogy. Back east, when I was in upstate New York, they used to, every year due to wear and tearing and the asphalt would break, they always sealed their driveways, their asphalt. They always got this stuff they bought at, I don't know, Home Depot kind of place. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so they sealed the driveway to keep it from breaking up and, you know, to help it get through they have harsh winters with a lot of snow. So, like the driveway, we start out clean each year, but we get beaten up. The solution for the driveways was getting it sealed to protect the asphalt. The seals out the elements. They do that each year. We are the asphalt, and Yeshua is the sealant that covered us, that protects us, that seals out attacks so that we can face the world and its shortcomings. If we let Him cover us, we will be sealed in His book, saved and sound. No matter what the world brings against us, it will run off. Like when you wax your car, just beads off, doesn't it? Yeah, keep waxing your car. We need Yom Kippur each year to get our sealing. That's why we celebrate and honor and observe Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement, the day that marks the supernatural loving relationship that the Creator God has with His chosen people. We come to honor Him, Yeshua, who redeemed us for all time. a people, his chosen people, born out of love, with love for Yom Kippur is about love. We show our love of God and our gratefulness for his mercy, compassion by changing, turning, making teshuvah. Yom Kippur is the beginning of our renewed relationship with God. Do not miss this holy open door for growing closer to Yeshua. He has done it all to set us free from the bondage of sin. I pray that you all have put yourself in a position to be rewritten in the books, Lamb's Book of Life, and have been sealed for not only a good year, but for an eternity. I hope you're there. Okay.